Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. Welcome to a brand new week. It is Monday morning, July the 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Very excited to be into a new week with you in this Gospel of Mark, Mark Pizza Challenge, 16 chapters, 16 days. We're doing it, aren't we? And so let's jump into this new week with Jesus in consecration. It's not enough to just kind of have a sense of him. He's saying to you and to me today, abide in me as I abide in you. He's looking for union, for closeness, for just this deep, deep, deep connected attachment to him. That's what we're going for. That's why this isn't a little friendly devotion. This is not a teaching session. This is a meeting with Jesus. He's here. That's why we start off by saying, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, Why 2 cents is worth more than $1 million. And our text, we're reading Mark chapter 12. I want you to read the whole chapter. And we're going to be covering verses 41 through 44. It will be a familiar story to many of us. Hear now the word of the Lord. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. 2 copper coins are more than very large offerings of money. How can this be? How can 2/8 of a cent be more than $1,000? It makes no sense. How can the least be the greatest and the last be the first? How does the smallest seed become the largest tree? How does humility lead to exaltation? None of this makes any sense, and yet it makes perfect sense to Jesus. So, if it doesn't make sense to me, then I've not yet learned to think like Jesus. The world's way of thinking and its value system is more often than not completely opposite of Jesus' way of thinking and value system. Here, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Faith means learning to trust the wisdom and values of Jesus, even though it seems completely opposite of the ways of the world. When Jesus says the widow has put in more than all of the wealthy people, who clearly put in more money, then the widow has put in more. It gets even more interesting when we remember the previous text, the one just preceding this story about the widow. I'll refresh our memory. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." That's Mark 12, 38 through 40. Do you see what he's saying? It's so easy for us to think we get this concept about the most respected people being the most despicable, but we don't. Jesus' analogy is not to the crooked politicians of our time, but more likely the people in our communities who are the most esteemed and respected. I'm just hoping he's not talking to me about me. If there's one thing I've become sure of in life, it's this. However things seem to be on the outside, you can bet they're not really that way. Faith means living in the midst of the world's value system with a completely different set of values, a different mindset. When the world's compass points south, we can bet Jesus' compass points north. However, discipleship is not about just opposing the values of the world and trying to do the opposite. Discipleship is about following Jesus exclusively when it makes sense to us and when it doesn't. Discipleship is the process of being trained by the indwelling Holy Spirit to put on the mind of Christ. There's a text of Scripture that has perhaps become more important to me than any other text. It's one I have rememberized and tried to rehearse it every day. I commend it to you. I want to encourage you to give yourself to learning this text forward and backward, inside out and upside down. I'm going to say it how I have rememberized it, maybe slightly different than what's printed in the email or in the notes today, the transcript. It goes like this: have the same mind in you. And let me just say this, every day, as I say, I set my mind on you in the consecration prayer, many days I'll just go into this prayer about the mind of Jesus. I say it out loud, need my ears to hear it. Have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And taking on the nature of a slave, being made in human likeness, and found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's only as we grow in the very mind of Jesus that we will ever hope to truly understand how two cents can be worth more than $1 million. Wow. Let's pray. Let's sing our prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. You know, that's what we're praying when we're singing that song. We're saying, let the Word of God shape my mind and my heart. Let me have the mind of Christ. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. I want to learn to think thought. It's interesting how the Bible is always saying, this is not about the renewal of your feelings. It's about the renewal of your mind. Your feelings will follow your mind. Rarely does your mind follow your feelings, and if it does, it's usually a pretty dysregulated kind of place. That's what we're dealing with so often, is just a lot of dysregulated emotions, disordered desires, confusing feelings. It's why the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, goes for the mind, that core place in us that creates our sense of will and volition, and that's God's Word. And that's why I'm always encouraging you to say God's Word, to dwell on God's Word. I'm saying today, just make a campsite at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I cannot overstress it. We will never find our way to that way of thinking without simply beholding. You become like whom you behold. And that text, it just takes us all the way down that V, all the way down that V, and all the way back up the other side. Let's go with a couple of journal prompts today. Have you ever done something that made no sense in the terms and value system of the world, and yet seemed to be the wisdom of God and the way of Jesus, even the mind of Christ? How did it turn out? I'd love for you to think about that and reflect on it and journal some about it. You know, that whole text, it's like, he have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? Being in very nature God, keeps going. He made himself nothing, it says. The one who was everything made himself nothing. He just completely poured out any and all aspect of human ego. Remember that word ego? I think I said it before last week. Edging, E-G-O, edging God out. I mean, ego can get us a long way. It just won't necessarily get us where we want to be. And Jesus is trying to say, let's let that go. Let God in. Let God in. That's Lego, L-E-G-O, Lego. That's different from ego, right? That's good. I never thought that before. But like, what if we sort of thought like, okay, my life is going to be a bunch of Lego blocks, and I'm going to put them in front of God and say, Jesus, would you take these Lego blocks that was my former life that I tried to build into a great Tower of Babel that reaches the heavens and makes a great name for myself? Would you take those Legos and now make them what you had in mind when you created me? Just break them apart, put them back together. I mean, I'm glad to be involved in whatever you want from me and for me and through me and in me. I'm here. Let's do this together. But that comes by the renewing of the mind. He made himself nothing, which is to say, he let go of all that he might have become. He completely surrendered himself to his Father. He completely welcomed the filling of the Holy Spirit, and he became the most incredible life. So incredible, he couldn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. Jesus is something else, y'all. And in the mind that's in him, he wants to impart to us by the Spirit of God. It's so much easier than we thought. That's what he means by, like, take my yoke upon you. It's easy yoke because I'm coming in here. I'm funding this project. I'm not just giving you a big, tall set of instructions, or I'm not even giving you a map that you got to figure out. I'm coming myself. I'm bringing my spirit. I'm bringing my mind. And you know what? It's not going to so overwhelm you that you're not you any longer. I've heard a lot of people say that, like, well, what's going to... I want to be me. I'm like, this is the way to be you. It's your personality. It's who you most truly are. What gets dismantled is all of that false self, all that ego self, living in ego strength. Remember lies, L-I-E-S, living in ego strength. What gets dismantled is that. What comes forth is the true you. It's beautiful. It's already coming. I can see it in you. Just lean into it more. All right, we're going to sing. We're going to sing that song. We've been singing it each Monday of this series. I thought we'd do it again today. I'm bringing Dad back in tomorrow, next few days. It's been so great to have him. Let's go. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's do it again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what we're doing this week. That's what we're doing. We're getting our eyes fixed on him. It's going to be a great week. I want to just keep reminding you, coming up next Monday, welcoming a new host, a guest host for 5 days, 1 week. It's my friend Lou Ann Riley. Lou Ann is a pastor down in the Woodlands, Texas. She's a preacher. She's an author. She is Seedbed's newest author, I would say. And she teaches women in Bible study. She can teach anybody. She preaches to the church. But she is especially gifted as a women's Bible study leader. And she's written a study on James. It's called Growing Up, Faith Lessons from the Book of James. It's like seven weeks long. All you got to do is order the books. If you buy the books, you get the videos for free along with them. She's teaching on these videos. You show up in your women's group, your small group, your large group, whatever you got, your Sunday school. Pop that video up on the television. The workbook has got little exercises for you to work through. It's so good. And I'm hoping that 1,000 churches will adopt this material. She's got another study that's going to be coming out in the spring of 2027. And hopefully, by the mercy of God, we'll have another one for the fall of 28. But that's going to depend on you getting on board and welcoming a new Bible teacher into your women's community in your local church. Would you help us spread the word on this? I feel like most people don't know about it yet. And the internet's crowded and noisy, and sometimes it's hard to get a message across. That's why I'm just coming right here between me and you. If you're a woman, I want you to jump in here. I want you to order. We're going to put the links today. It's a banner on the email. We'll put the links in the show notes of the YouTube and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and whatnot. But would you give this a shot? I mean, I'm picturing some women like saying, you know what, why don't we start a little Bible study in our neighborhood this fall? Just invite some women over, some women that may not go to church yet, may not know Jesus yet, but we're going to sow. This is a sowing act of love. Okay, that's enough for that. Lou Ann, you're going to love her. She's fun. She's from Luverne, Alabama. She's Southern. She's sophisticated. She's a great Bible teacher. And I'm so excited that Seedbed gets to help share her with the broader church. All right, gang, it's time to get on the field. It's Monday, and we got good seed to sow. We got the mind of Jesus in us. We're full of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is flowing over, overflowing. So, for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt, and I'll see you on the field.